let's talk about something that people probably aren't aware is going on at the moment, but you've obviously been really busy with the COVID stuff over the last few weeks, especially when we had our local outbreak. But now there's some planning going on for how we will handle COVID in the community when it looking like it becomes inevitable. So can you tell us a bit about that planning that's happening?
Sure. Well, you might remember last year, Aaron, before we went into our first lockdown, myself and Louisa Barham from Raglan Area School and a number of other people felt it was timely to start coordinating with different organisations across our community to pre-plan for what we felt was the inevitable in terms of COVID. So we set up our community response planning team at that time, and we've been sort of busy working away in the background, and we've reactivated the community response group. Because we know that in the inevitability of community spread for Delta within Whangaroa. So it's really about how can we collaborate proactively across our community with different organisations and individuals. So we've come up with a plan, and you may have read in the Chronicle yesterday, that was our first article. And so that was worked on by myself and a number of other people, including Dr. Mike and Marky, you know, from your organisation, from the Chronicle, and Dr. Mike from Raglan Medical.
Yep.
So we collaborated on that piece of work, and with another lovely woman, Michelle Levy, who helped us with a checklist that whanau can use. So we're going to be having proactive comms out, and we are now going to be working with the DHB. I had a chat with a woman, Debbie Whittam, yesterday, who her role actually is the COVID-19 response for the Waikato region, for the DHB. And so I had a really good catch-up with her yesterday, and they're proposing three stages of the response planning. And the first part is the Manaaki services, which is really where we can support in terms of providing that Manaaki tanga out to members in our community who will test positive for COVID and will need to isolate at home. And so we can support what they call the navigated lead agency. So the DHB will confirm who a positive case is, refer that to the Navigator Agency, and we're really lucky because for Whangaroa, that will be Glenda Raumati and her team from Ngā Mental Health, who you know have been working in the community tirelessly with the vaccinations and with the testing. And it's cool, you know, because Glenda's, her mum is my first cousin, so it's lovely to be able to have whānau, you know, collaboration in that way. And, you know, in the familiar faces, people may not recognise some of the beautiful young people that work with that organisation. But, you know, typical for whānau, we can always make those connections by saying, oh, who's your grandmother or who's your mum? And you soon make those connections. So they will be that agency offering support to people who need to isolate at home. And that's where the community response planning group will come in and work out from Ngā Miro what sort of support, you know, whānau or individuals will need, you know, if it's kai, if it's pre-cooked meals, checking up every day, making sure they're okay. And, of course, then there's the next step, which they're planning on surge teams. So they're doing training of extra staffing for the need to do testing, particularly over the summer period, you know, in places like Raglan and the Coromandel, because, you know, have been identified in the Waikato as those places that people will want to come to. And so those surge teams will then be able to be mobilised really quickly to do things like testing.
Are there enough? Because it's kind of interesting. We watched with the outbreak, it was in Hamilton and Raglan, and then now it's in all sorts of towns, and all the health providers, they must already be quite stretched, I imagine.
Well, that's why they're doing training now, to have other teams that are able to be mobilised.
Yeah.
You know, so there'll be more. But, you know, we will have the advantage as well. When I spoke to Glenda, I think it was Tuesday, we had a chat because she had indicated to me then that they were hoping to be that agency in Whangaroa, as well as Huntly and Ngārua Wāhia, in some parts of Hamilton as well, and that she's got some teams, and that they will be able to, if needed, be based here in Whangaroa over Christmas New Year, and they will be able to set up quite quickly testing and vaccination mobile stations. So, you know, being able to collaborate in that capacity is great for us. And speaking with Debbie yesterday, she said that really the role for the DHB is to support the coordination of what communities need, because communities know community. So being able to use those resources will certainly help us support our health services like Raglan Medical, and ultimately hopefully be able to help the DHB and sort of be, yeah, collaboration and that reciprocity as well between the organisations.
I imagine that a lot of, from here on, a lot of testing is going to be required, because the virus will definitely be present in the community.
That's exactly right. And, you know, when we have all of our whānau and friends that, you know, I know my niece and nephew and that in Auckland, and my friends, and I've got, you know, good friends who've got their children and their grandchildren whom they haven't seen for the entire lockdown, really looking forward to being able to welcome their families back down here. So we'll have lots of enthusiastic visitors wanting to come to these shores. So how do we keep them safe? How do we keep our community safe? And it's about, you know, when you're unwell, getting tested, all of those things. So we will be able to, like I said before, Aaron, we'll have comms going out regularly. We'll have more information in the summer guide as well for the Chronicle and in the Nets Chronicle. And, of course, hopefully we'll be able to utilise your guys' great platform that you've been doing with the comms around you know, testing and things like that, Aaron. And so we'll be using various platforms as well as social media. You know, that what we really want people to know is that we want to support everyone in our community, and, you know, that it's nothing to be shy about or feel whakama about is reaching out for help. If you need support, because the support is here, and without judgment, because like I've said before, Aaron, it's a virus, you know, and viruses spread. So it's just about how we can take care of each other and without fear or judgment.
Yeah, and sort of along those lines, I've had someone just sent a question, and you were talking before about people going and like isolating at home. Is that irrespective of whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, if you've got the virus, you'll need to isolate at home?
Irrespective, because, you know, we know that the virus spreads and through the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And, you know, the vaccination is one tool in our kete, you know, to minimise the impact on our health services. So, you know, like I said, this is without judgement. We want to support all of our community. And so it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or if you're not vaccinated. We're here. Our community response team is about inclusion, not division, and about supporting each other in times of need. So, it's for everyone.
And I actually imagine if for an unvaccinated person, if they think they've got COVID, they actually want to get it documented, I think, because then I haven't seen what the government says about that, but that does confer immunity. So I would have thought that would be really important to get that documented.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll just do the best that we can to support each other, and that's why our response group is, you know, exists, because whether it was for a pandemic or whether it's to respond to a natural disaster like an earthquake, collaboration and amongst organisations and individuals in times like these are even more important, because it builds those relationships and hopefully that trust. And I know that there's lots of talk about division, so this is an opportunity for us to break down those barriers and work together, because there's skills right across our community and passion and resources that all of us can utilise.
Yeah, yeah. And now, still with COVID, I know that council staff have been working on, they've got the traffic light system, and they've been trying to work out policy for council buildings and facilities. And I'm kind of hearing rumours at this point. Have you got anything solid on that at the moment?
In what sort of context? In terms of like having...
vaccinated and unvaccinated people in council buildings, basically.
Well, actually, it depends on the front-facing staff. So doing the risk analysis, actually, and I think every organisation will be doing this in terms of, because many of our staff go out onto different sites, you know, like buildings inspectors, our frontline staff in our libraries. So definitely those discussions in amongst our own staff around the requirement to be vaccinated is still something that we're working through and consulting with our staff. And, you know, for every organisation, it's a challenge. But I believe from the staff survey that has been undertaken, we've already got about 90% of the staff who are double vaccinated. And I know that for the Raglan Holiday Park, for our staff that are employed there, there is a requirement for them to be double vaccinated, quite simply because that is a high-risk area. You know, in over the summer period, January, for example, Aaron, we can have up to 5,500 people coming in and out of the camp.
Yeah.
So you can imagine from a risk perspective for our staff safety, one mechanism that we can do to help minimise that risk is to have our staff vaccinated.
So I've just realised it's actually a really complicated question, because there's what the council staff are doing, then there's what residents do when they're using a council service and coming to a council building, then there's people who are working for someone else but coming into a council building, and then we've got the town hall here, the town hall, which is incredibly complicated because you've got multiple user groups using the same facility.
Yep, and we haven't made any decisions at all on, you know, whether you're vaccinated or not, and to use our facilities like our halls, because they're very much loved and they are, you know, as our community assets. So we certainly haven't had any discussions around whether it's only vaccinated or non-vaccinated, for example. And I don't think we'll get to that point for those facilities.
Okay, because now I'm asking specifically for my organisation, the radio station sitting here in the town hall. So.
Yeah, and I guess that's around what your organisation requires for those who are coming into the station itself. Hey, those are protocols that you guys no doubt have been discussing.
Is it possible that, because there's so many council staff, that someone's actually working on that and it hasn't come across your desk yet?
We've definitely had discussions on the vaccination, on our vaccination policy.
Yep.
And there has been consultation with the staff, there's staff survey, you know, because we're really conscious that we need to be respectful to our staff and hear all views and make the best decisions that we can. That keep our community safe and our staff as well.
All right, well, we'll have to figure it out ourselves. I'm very reluctant to bar people from the station, and there's a low-risk environment while the doors are closed to the public.
Yes, and then, you know, if people are social distancing or they're using sanitising, you know, masks, if you're feeling unwell, you're not going to go into work or you're not going to go in and do your interview or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's those normal things that we undertake out of respect for each other, eh?
Mm-hmm. Okay, different subject entirely. And is it correct that there's public submissions possible for the wharf projects at the moment?
That's exactly right. Well, the team who are working on it are going to be having... I'm pretty sure, that's open now. But also there'll be information boards dotted around town, some down at the wharf, some down at the jetty, downtown, which will highlight, you know, people to engage. And it's in, I believe, it's through the Open Waikato. Share some of the plans. I haven't been in myself to have a look at that, but I had an email from Regan, who's from Becca, who's setting up those information boards. So it draws people's attention when they're downtown or wherever they are in Raglan to actually engage in that. So I think it's quite exciting. So really encourage people to have a look at that. And there's information also on the Community Board Facebook page and also on our website and on the Waikato District Council Facebook page. And also if they go into the Open Waikato as well.
So we've talked about quite a number of different projects. So is every project up for consultation, or is some of it already decided?
Well, you know, there's the walkway on the western side. So, you know, come up with some designs of that. So getting feedback from there. I haven't been, like I said, I actually haven't been in yet into what the consultation document looks like. So yep. I'll need to do that. It only came out this week. So I haven't taken the time to look at it. But, you know, we've been discussing the walkway on the western side of the wharf, and also the other works that around the other parts of the wharf. So I'd suggest that people go in and have a look.
Yeah.
I need to do that because I don't want to say things that, you know, when people go in and go, oh, Lisa said this, but it's not there. So.
Yeah, okay. Now, we just had the news last night that Sound Splash is moving to Mystery Creek.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Lisa?
I understand completely why they would do that. You know, there are new restrictions around the, you know, with COVID.
Yeah.
And so, you know, needing a bigger space. And, you know, it is confined up at the reserve. It's sad, you know, because I know that there's lots of young people who, you know, Charlie and Cardi were included, my kids,
yep.
Who were keen to go. Because it's local. But, you know, for the organisers, you know, Brian and Naomi, this is a really tricky space,
yeah.
You know. And, you know, all of the requirements about running an event now with a lens of COVID on there, I can't imagine what that would be like for event organisers like them. So, you know, they've had to make a tough decision, and good on them for doing that. They love Raglan, and so it would be one of the last things that they would have wanted to do is to take it away. But, you know, for them, I'm sure it's the best decision in terms of mitigating risk for an event of their size.
Mm.
And also they'll be able to increase the size of their audience and comfortably have, you know, splashes being able to stay on site because, you know, it's a bigger area. And, of course, Mystery Creek have facilities that are set up for events like that to
yeah.
host that capacity. So hopefully we'll see them back in 2023, you know, back,
yeah.
When
yeah.
we get back to some semblance of normalcy. So, yeah, I wish them all the best, actually.
So... the other thing we should always talk about, or it seems we always talk about, is the airfield.
Yep.
Where the council's announced a fence has been built. Some people are still opposed to the fence. Is there a chance they can still stop the fence being built, I guess?
No. I honestly, because, you know, council's role is to manage the airfield. And when you have a report like the Haynes report that's highlighted that risk as an organisation, not to, you know, meet those obligations in the report or mitigate the risk, currently, you know, if there was an accident, you know, we would be responsible for that. I know that there's passionate views. People feel very close to that space, myself included. But I think Rick Samuels from Ngāuri o Mahanga, his statement that on behalf of Ngāuri o Mahanga last week was quite clear on the tribal position and their relationship with council. And I think that added clarity on the who has the mana whakahaere or the governance over certain blocks of the airfield. Which one is Ngāti Mahanga, and the other were the descendants of Wetini Mahikai.
Actually, I'm curious, Lisa. Who do we know who the descendants are? Because I wasn't familiar, as usual, with that level of history.
In terms of which part of the land are you talking about?
Where they named an individual rather than Mahanga? I presume it's still local people.
If you go onto Rex, or his full name is Te Awaruti, if you go onto that post, you'll actually see the Certificate of Title, I think it's called, which actually lists the owners at that time. And so from there are their descendants. So
I guess I'm asking, are their descendants still in the area?
You're talking to one now.
Okay, that's a yes.
Yeah, of course there are. And, you know, it's really unusual, actually, for Ngāuri or Mahanga or any hapu or tribal group to make a statement, as Rick did, to, as I think he referred to, some of the rhetoric that has been going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, around who has that mana whakahaere or that treaty relationship. So that's quite a significant statement, actually, in terms of that. Hmm. And I think there's a there is going to be a hui with the whānau and hapu groups around that. And then obviously the discussions with council, because I think there's a confusion here about the council. I guess their responsibility is the operational management of that area. And in terms of the land and ownership, that's a Crown process. And to be quite clear, the relationship between Ngāuri or Mahanga and council is a good relationship. And I can only say that in my capacity as councillor.
Yeah.
And so you would need to speak further with someone like Te Awarutu or Warren, who is the chair of Ngāuri or Mahanga, or in fact one of the delegated representatives from Ngāuri or Mahanga.
So I think, Lisa, that there's something that I'd forgotten about and which maybe people weren't aware of, which is that Mahanga have been working with the council overseeing that land for some time now.
Yep, and we've got two of the hapu representatives that actually sit on the Ragnan Holiday Park Papahua Camp Board as well, and progressing relationships based on co-governance. You know, and so there's lots going on behind the scenes, and unfortunately, it's really unfortunate that there are people in the community who have based some of their platform on, you know, misinformation, particularly around the so-called gift that to the people of Ragnan, and getting it back for the use of the people of Ragnan. So there's a real misunderstanding around the terms of the tuku that took place in 1923 between the then Ragnan Town Board and the tribe at that time. And there were conditions to the tuku, and tuku does not translate to gift in the sense that there were no conditions. It was about a relationship. But that's all I'll say on that, Aaron. I would like people to understand that it's not as simple as that it was a gift to the people of Ragnan. There was a relationship there determined by the tribe and by the Ragnan Town Board, which is now obviously Waikato District Council.
And can I just confirm that council is in negotiations or going to negotiate or discuss with iwi about the return of the land at this point in time?
The relationship of the land. So it's the return of the land goes back to the Crown process, but that relationship between council and, I can speak for Mahanga only, around Papahua, because the other adjacent block at the end of the airfield is the Kōpua blocks.
Yeah.
And so there's definite discussions and ongoing discussions around the relationship between council and Mahanga.
Okay, all right. Before we go, there's a by-election on at the moment. I just interviewed one of the candidates this morning and the other one yesterday. Any comment on that?
Yeah, just get out your voting papers, ladies and gentlemen, and, you know, look to what you want in representation for the future. You know, think about Bob, and he'd be stoked to have someone who is young and passionate in the community who's stepping up and wanting to be involved and participate in the community board. So I think that's really neat to see. So I think that closes, is it next week? Mm. And so, yeah, if you've got your voting papers, ladies and gentlemen, exercise your democratic right and vote.
Okay, and is there anything else you've been working on that I'm not aware of at the moment, or something you wanted to bring to people?
The dog control bylaw goes out for consultation again on the 1st of December until the 14th of January, I think it is.
Dog control?
Yeah, dog control, so it's looking at areas for dogs out and about in our different communities, including Raglan. So that's open on the 1st. So have a look at that. There's also the speed limit bylaw review, which is going across the district, that's looking at not so much fine at all, because we already have dropped our speeds to 40. But there is a portion of from just where Simon Tefetel's gallery is back to Raglan, that part of the road, as you know, has been relocated back to council. So that part, State Highway 23, will now become part of the local road. So in that document, there is a proposal there to drop the speed limit from 100 to 60 coming into Raglan. So it makes more sense coming up to the 40.
Yeah.
When you hit the entry by Manukau Road. So that's out as well. I think that goes out today, and that's right through to, I believe, the 23rd of January. So that's out as well.
Okay.
Of course, we've got our community board meeting. I can't remember the date.
Soon?
That's in December.
Yeah.
And again, we'll be by Zoom because we're not, we don't have the opportunity to meet in person because some of our staff who are in Democracy are actually still in Auckland, so they are managing our remotely. So we'll be meeting in December by Zoom.
Okay, and I'm asking anyone I can this question. Do you have any insight into whether that our DHB area is going to be put into orange or red zone when the time comes? You've been talking to the DHB?
I don't know, actually.
No, I don't know if anyone knows, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. So it will be what it will be when it comes out, eh? And we just need to be prepared and look forward to a fantastic summer, which we're enjoying now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, Lisa, thank you heaps for your time this morning.
That's okay, Aaron. Have a great weekend.